All right, if you'll turn your Bibles to Isaiah 43, and we're going to read also Luke 19. Praise the Lord. Isn't it a beautiful day outside today? Thank God. We don't have too many more wonderful days like this, but we're going to enjoy whatever we can. Amen. Isaiah 43, we're going to read verse 18 through 19. If you stand for the reading. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word right now. And I pray, God, that you'll touch and move and speak to every heart in this house. Let your anointing be upon your servant as he speaks the word. Anoint every heart to receive. God, I pray in your name, Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning, a fresh start in life. A fresh start in life. Amen. Is there anybody here that would not like to have a fresh start? I mean, we have it daily, a fresh start. We go have a bad day and we just want to go home and get a cup of soup and go to bed and just hope that the next day is great. Amen. You have a bad week. Can't wait till the weekend. But we all need fresh starts. Amen. And you can have it in your personal life and your Christian walk with God. Amen. Many have made many mistakes in life. Amen. We've made many mistakes, even as Christians. And we have experienced many setbacks, failures throughout our lives. And sometimes, folks, the problem with that is, it's all right. We all make mistakes. We understand that here today. And, you know, you probably said that to somebody. Somebody's getting on you for messing up. And you're like, well, haven't you ever made a mistake? Right? We understand everybody. But the problem sometimes is we allow those mistakes, we allow those failures, these setbacks, to enslave us to the point that we never enjoy life. And oftentimes Christians don't live that abundant life the way God intended for us to live. Jesus wants us to live life abundantly. He says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God does not want us to be enslaved to our problems, to our past, to our setbacks, to our failures. He doesn't want us to live in that realm. Jesus also tells us that there is an adversary called the devil that seeks to kill, seeks to destroy life. So you got to understand, when I am in that area, when I am, my mind is dominated with the constant thinking of my mess ups, the constant mistakes that I live by, and all these kind of things, you're not where God wants you to be. You're not listening to that voice that wants you to live abundantly. Because you will live abundantly if you understand that, hey, I have made that. God, I've repented of that. And God has covered that with the blood. So I don't have to let that dwell in my constant thinking. I can live an abundant life. The devil does not want you to have that fresh start in life. The good news is, God says, I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want you to have a new beginning. I want you to do something new in life. And folks, aren't you glad that God wants us to do something new in our life? And He wants to be that the one that is able to bless us in that new beginning. Doesn't it make you excited to know that God desires to give you a fresh start, a new beginning in life? And what all of us here need is a fresh start. What all of us here need is a new beginning with God. Amen? And maybe you said, I need a relationship with God, or I want to grow in my relationship with God. Or maybe you said, I need to start praying to God, or I need to pray more to God. Amen. Or maybe maybe I need to start reading my Bible or read my Bible more. I need to start going to church. Or I need to go to church more and get more involved in the church. I'm going to spend more quality time with my family. And the list could go on and on and on. The fact is that all of us here have made some mistakes, and we've made bad decisions, and those things have hindered us from doing those things that we want to do and we desire to do. The good news is the Lord says in Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. You're never going to go further in the Lord and do greater things if you're constantly dwelling on the past and your mistakes. Instead, look at the new thing I'm going to do, he says. Listen to what God is saying in this verse, folks. Forget about what's happened before. He says, don't think about the past. It's over. The book is closed on it. Folks, we need to understand that God is far more interested in our future than he is our past. Amen? Now, some people think that God is stuck in their past. He could never forgive me for this. He'll always look bad at me. And that's all he wants to do is, you're thinking, that's all he wants to do is remind me of those things. All the wrong that I've done. And we think this way sometimes. And God is more interested in your future than he is your past. That's where you're going to spend the rest of your life, in the future. That's why God is more interested in your future than your past. You can't change your past. There's nothing you can do about your past. He says, forget about your past. Forget about those former things. Don't dwell on those things anymore. Those are problems. You can't do anything about it. You can't change it. But you can change your future. Amen? You could say, it stops here. I'm not carrying this forward. I don't want to take the problems that I've had and all the situations that I've accumulated in my life. I don't want that for my family. It stops now. The curse that's been on my family, that's been in my life, it stops now. I don't want it to go on to my children. It stops now. Look at the new thing God says I'm going to do. Israel was being punished for their sins. They were being punished for their rebellion against God. And God wanted to give hope. He wanted to give encouragement to his people. He wanted them to know that even though they were being punished, they were not being forsaken. Understand, folks, we will reap what we sow. Okay? That's how it goes. You put an apple seed in the ground, you're going to find an apple tree sooner or later. All right? You're going to reap that. And just like every parent, we've all had to correct our children, but it doesn't mean we don't love them. Amen? Doesn't mean that we don't want the best for them. We work hard to try to give them a better life than we had. If you don't do that, then your parenting is questionable. But it doesn't mean you don't love them. And that's what God was. Israel, they were being punished, but God still loved them. God wanted his people to understand that the punishment that they were experiencing would not be the end of them. Now, you might get mad and say, if you don't stop that, I'm going to beat you half to death. Well, at least you don't go all the way. Okay? The fact is that God wanted to give them a fresh start. He wanted to give them a new beginning. Israel, no doubt, folks, was discouraged because they thought this was the end of them. They had gone too far. They had sinned and rebelled against God to the point that He would no longer be their God. That's what they were thinking. That's what's going through their mind. And maybe they thought God would not deliver us again. It's over. God's not going to do it again. This is stuff they were thinking. And that is when they begin to remember the former things of their past and their deliverances. Israel could remember past deliverances. They could remember past victories. They could remember when they were trapped by the Red Sea and they couldn't go nowhere. The enemy was behind them. The sea was before them. And God made a way for them. That's why your testimony is so important. They could remember that when the enemy was about to overtake them, God provided protection for them. They could remember the former things, but they couldn't see their future. Amen? Can I get an amen? You can remember things, whether it's good or bad, but you can't see your future. I don't know what's ahead tomorrow. I think I know what's ahead tomorrow, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't know what's going to happen 6 months from now. I don't know what's going to happen a year from now. 5 years from now. They could remember the former things, but they couldn't see the future. And that is why God said, I am going to do something new. Maybe that's where you are today. You feel that you have made so many mistakes, you have failed or failed God so many times, and that you have sinned it all away. You think now God doesn't want anything to do with me. You feel and you believe that you have no future with God. The good news is God is saying, it's not over. I have plans for your life. I'm about to do something new for you. So I want to discuss here with you today a fresh start in life. And I believe that's where Church of Pentecost is right now, folks. Amen. We're right on that crust. Amen. And God's saying, look, I want you to forget the old stuff. You can't change it, but I got plans for you. I got plans for you. And understand, folks, God can't bless you if you aren't doing what you're supposed to do. Okay? And God says, I have plans for you, but you got to do your part. Amen? So I want to discuss a fresh start in life. I want to share with you a formula for starting over. Start. Regardless of what kind of failure you had in the past, you may have had a financial failure, maybe a relationship failure, a failure in your marriage or with your children, whatever it may be. You may have had a moral failure. You may have really blown it. And you may have made some decisions that you are ashamed of and hope nobody ever finds out. Regardless of your failure, you've had it in your life, that you had in your life. Here's how we're going to start over. We'll take the word stop. Start. Start over. The S stands for stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Now, hear me this morning. God wants to bless you. God has new things. If you could continually are making excuses for why you can't do it, God can't help you. Well, I can't do this. It's because of this. Let me tell you something, folks. You can have all the excuses you want because the devil's got bags full. All right? That one don't work. Here, try this one. If that one don't work, try this one. Okay? But you got to stop making excuses. If I want a fresh start in life, I have to stop making excuses for my failures. You know, listen, the alcoholic, he can blame it on everything he wants. But until he realizes it's him, he's never going to quit. I've got to stop blaming other people for why I can't do something for God or why I continue to do this thing that I don't want to do. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming other people. I've got to stop seeing myself. Hear me. I've got to stop seeing myself as the victim of my circumstances. We live in that victim society today, folks, and it drives me nuts. I'm telling you, you can blame. It don't get you anywhere. You can blame all you want. You can claim to be the victim all you want, but you're only going to keep digging your hole deeper. So stop. I've got to stop seeing myself as the victim of my circumstances. Now, other people can hurt us. Other people can harm us. Other people can scar us. Hear me? I'll say it again. Other people can hurt us. They can harm us. They can scar us. But the only person that can ruin your life is you. Nobody can ruin your life without your permission. Come on. Come on. Listen, when I was in school, I was made fun of a lot. I have a name. My first name is Castle. And so people wanted to make fun of it for some reason. You know?
Castle.
So one day, this one guy drove me nuts. He was relentless. And I looked at him one day and I said, "What is your problem?" "It's my name. I can't do anything about it. It's who I am. What's your problem with my name?" And I let him see that, you know what? You're not bothering me. In fact, I think you're kind of dumb. I didn't say that to him. But when he saw that it wasn't bothering me, he stopped. Stopped. I'm like, why did I do this before? Really? You know, I didn't give me my name. It's my grandmother's maiden name, Castle. I'm a junior. Big deal. I was always called Bill. But you know, when you go to a new class and the teacher gets the roll call, Castle? Yeah, that's me. You know, teachers, they can't pronounce your name, you know. So then the kids would pick up on that, Castle. I come to Cleveland, people love my name. I'm serious. I just grew up going to school and they made fun of me. Come to Cleveland, I love that name. How'd you get it? I'm serious. Anytime, you know, you go to the bank, they see your name, Castle. I love it. But folks, I'm telling you, nobody can ruin your life unless you give them permission. You don't have to let whatever people do, you don't have to let it bother you. In fact, you're fueling the fire. Stop! Oh boy, they don't like this. That's what Carl loves to see. Oh, they don't like it. Jab, jab. You know, he's writing a list for New Year's Day. I think he's got me on there a couple times. He does it all in fun. We know that. But I can use him a fear in fun too. So there's repercussions, right? They can't ruin it. What's that? Yeah. You have a choice, and that is you can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. Amen? The Bible says that the starting point is to just be honest and accept responsibility for my part in the problem. Proverbs 28:13 says, "A man who refuses to admit his mistake can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance." That's awesome. He gets a fresh start. He says that the starting point to starting over is to be honest and to face up to the problem, that most of the problems in my life, most of the failures in my life are my fault. So it's hard to get people to admit when they're wrong. People do not like to admit, I made a mistake and I blew it. God says that if we admit the mistake, if we admit our failures, and if we admit our sin, then we get another chance. The number one reason that we fail in life is we don't prepare ourselves for the problems that we will face in life. This is important, folks. I'm going to say it again. The number one reason we fail in life is we don't prepare ourselves for the problems that we will face in life. Proverbs 27:12 says, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. That's in anything. Okay? And I think sometimes, especially in our day and age that we live in, parents sometimes shelter children so much that they cannot prepare for what's going to nail them when they walk out the door. Here, let me do that for you. Let me take care of that. Oh, your teachers did it? I'm going to chew them out. No, my dad always said, you get in trouble at school, you come home, you're getting it double time. Oh, he meant it too. But now I got parents in there ready to sue the teachers for trying to teach your brat. Come on. If you aren't allowing them to face their troubles and get the results of what they got into, and you're covering up, you're not helping them to prepare. And the Bible says here, a sensible man watches for problems, because problems will come. The Bible tells us they will come. And life is not fair. So don't make it your child think that I'll take care of all your situations. A sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. You know, you go out to your car and you see those bald tires and you don't say, I better get, winter's coming. And you wait and you wait and you wait and the snowstorm hits and you slide in a ditch. You didn't prepare. You see what I'm saying? You know, you got problems in your house and there's a few shingles missing. And you know winter's coming. You better prepare. And the same way in life's everyday situations. You need to say, hey, if it comes, when things come, what am I prepared to do? How am I going to handle these problems when they come? Well, I know I can go to prayer. I know I can go to the Word of God. And I want to be prepared so that when things come, I'm not going to fall apart. Amen? Don't be that simpleton and never check out and look ahead and think ahead. What if this happens? It's one thing I'm just blessed with. I always look ahead. If I allow this to happen, if I allow this person to do that, what happens down the line if I don't want that person to do what this person's doing? How am I going to handle? Thank God for that. But we need to look at life. Hey, when problems come my way, am I going to be able to handle it? Things pile up on me. This happens. Boom. I'm trying to get this work taken care of. All of a sudden, that's not even finished, and I got another problem. How am I going to handle? House ownership. You fix one thing, you look around, there's another situation. It never ends. Cars. Listen, folks. Cars break down. I don't care how new it is. Is there an amen? But if you had a horse, you'd have to shoe him, you'd have to feed him, you got to take care of everything else. They got to have shots. They got to be groomed. Everything. We had to prepare. You see, was it raining when Noah started to build the ark? Anybody? Was it raining when Noah started to build the ark? He was preparing, wasn't he? He had to prepare for that coming flood. In fact, the rain didn't come for 120 years. But that's how long it took him to get the thing built. Because, see, we don't, a lot of times the problem is we don't listen to others. You know, you're young and mom and dad's trying to tell you, hey, look, this thing's, you better start saving a little bit in case the problem comes. They're so old. We don't live back in those days anymore. Right? It's modern society. You know, they tell you when you're driving in the winter, you should carry blankets and stuff in your car. I got a cell phone. You see people go out, snow this high on the ground, they got shorts on. I'm cool. Right? Come on. I see that and I just, are you out of your mind? The problem is we don't listen to other people. We don't listen to good advice that is offered. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says, though good advice lies deep within a counselor's heart, the wise man will draw it out. I want to hear what they have to say. They've lived through some things. They got good things going for them in their life. How can I get that advice? I loved working with older folks, man. When I worked on construction jobs and things of that nature, I loved it. I would heed. I worked on one job, had a guy who was younger than me at the time, and I was pretty young back then. He was the foreman. He wouldn't listen to anybody. Him old timers would try to tell him, hey, well, if you do this, I know how to do it. I know what I'm doing. If somebody could show me how to do something better and quicker, teach me. Pour it in. Though good advice lies deep within the counselor's heart, the wise man will draw it out. You need to get all the advice you can. Get good advice from people you know that you can trust. Why don't people listen to the advice of other people? Anybody? Pride? Anybody else? Stupid? That work? Why don't people listen to the advice of other people? Because they think they don't need it. Amen? It's called pride, or in other words, ego. You know what ego stands for? Edging God out. Edging God out. When a person thinks they know more than God, they push him out of their life. They're on an ego trip, and that trip leads to a dead end. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When I think I know it all, and I can figure it all out myself, I'm setting myself up for failure. And if I don't listen to the advice of others, if I don't listen to the advice of my wife, my husband, my pastor, boss, other people around me, if I think I'll just do it my way, I'll never get anywhere. Amen? I'll never get anywhere if I haven't already arrived. The person that gets too big for their britches will eventually be exposed in the end. And that's the problem with pride. We fail to prepare, and we fail to listen to other people, and we fail to listen to as the results. We fail. We give up too soon also. You know, this is something that I don't like to hear. I can't do it. I can't. And to me, my boys know this well, when you say, I can't, it just means you don't want to. You just don't want to. If you give up when troubles come, it just shows that you are weak. Failure, folks, is the path of least resistance. Right? The problem is that often during trying times, when problems come, is that we stop trying. We give up. You see, if at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. You thought I was going to say something else, don't you? Right? Listen, if you don't succeed the first time, welcome to the human race. If at first you don't succeed, guess what? You're normal. Right? Very few people, hear me, very few people make it on the first try. Oftentimes, we give up just when success is right around the corner. You're never a failure until you give up. Come on. You're never a failure until you give up. Sometimes we give up too soon. It's always, folks, hear me, it's always too soon to quit. The Bible says that we need to stop making excuses, admit it when it's our fault, and get on with life. Now, I've discovered that people who are very good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. Come on. Isn't that true? You know, you see him coming. Oh, here comes another excuse.